Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. We're going to continue on. I have this overwhelming need to tell you this morning. And some of you are going to think this is strange. But I just, as we was worshiping, I wanted to say thank you for allowing Treve and I to be your pastors. And I really mean that. It really is our honor to serve you. Amen. Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 11. And I titled this, "The Conclusion of the Matter is to Fear God." Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Amen. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to you, or to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, the Jews, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, boy, he named some of you, right, didn't he? Wild olive tree. Were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, but if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fail. Severity, but towards you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will be cut off. Excuse me. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. We love and we worship you. So thankful, Lord, for what you have done, Lord, for us. God, I need help this morning, Lord, to explain your word, Lord, so that we will have the mind of Christ. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would speak through me, and I pray, Lord, that the ground has been prepared to receive the seed, so that our attitudes would change. And Father, I feel the weightiness of this message in my heart. And God, it has weighted me down a bit, Lord. So God, I pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you strengthen the conduit, Lord, the mouthpiece, Lord, of which you will speak today. God, I pray, Lord, that I would not speak of my own accord or my own mind, but I would allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, that people may know the mind of Christ. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. And I pray that the rock lives forever. And I pray that the glory of God would fill this place today, Lord Jesus, like never before. God, let us see your glory, Lord. Lord, the mission that... Lord, the prophet said that the glory of the Lord would fill the earth like the water covers the sea. God, I'm so ready to see. I'm so ready to see the move of God. Oh, prepare us. Prepare Henry County for the move of God. Oh, Jesus, we long so much for you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I wanted to review just a little bit last week so we can get your mind in the right spot. And Paul had a very unique way of writing, and oftentimes he would ask questions, a rhetorical question. He didn't expect them to respond, but he's trying to get them in their mind to be where he's at. So he asks some questions, and you need to realize that chapter 11 is written to a nation. It's written to the nation of Israel. Now, we can apply some principles that was written there because Jonathan Kahn has come along. How many people have read some of the books of Jonathan Kahn, the Harbingers and stuff? And he says that America is following the same pattern that Israel has followed. So we can look to Israel and we can see the mistakes that Israel made and they're coming up, and we can look now to America and we can definitely see there's a pattern and we're following it. And so we can learn from history, can't we, folks? Amen. So he asks that question, has God abandoned Israel? And he says, absolutely not. God did not abandon Israel. Israel abandoned God. God has not abandoned America, but America, by large, has abandoned God. Amen. Hear me, people. Paul gives an example and he says, just look at me. If you think God has abandoned the Israelites, look at me. I'm an Israelite and I've accepted Jesus and God has poured his blessing upon me. He said, but think about our prophet Elijah. And he's speaking to the Jews. They knew who this was. He said, don't you remember the time when he thought he was the only one? And he said that, I'm the only one serving you, Lord. He ever felt like that? I'm the only one. And Jesus says, oh, dear God, I'm in trouble. If you're the only one, help us. And God spoke to Elijah and said, you're not the only one. I have 7,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. And I would tell you today, you're not the only one. There are many, many Americans, many people across this globe who have not bowed their knee to Satan. They are serving God, and I'm so thankful. I think this is such a powerful statement. Remember that the rebellious majority were given a chance to repent because of a faithful minority. Isn't that a great statement? The rebellious majority were given a chance to repent because of a faithful minority. Church, listen to me. Don't underestimate the power of God that's still moving in the church of Jesus Christ. This world will be saved because of the Holy Spirit in the church. Jesus won't come until he has to remove us. Because when Satan is getting ready to pour out upon this earth, he's got to remove that restraining force. We are doing something. We are so much greater, so much more powerful than what we think. Why? Because I'm strong? No. He says, I'm made strong in your weakness. I'm thankful that this church is not dependent upon Eric Kelleher or Treva Kelleher. It is dependent upon the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. You are faithful. He goes on. He talks about how the Lord requires obedience, not sacrifice. I think we still need to hear that today. What does the Lord want from you? He wants obedience. When I tell you to do something, just do it. I wrote so small, I can't even read my writing. When we turn from God, it's very similar to Pharaoh. The Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, every time Pharaoh said no to what God was asking, his heart became a little harder. Folks, if you ever heard me, hear me now. Every time the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, make it right. Let's get it right. Let's get this out of your life. And you say no, your heart begins to turn to stone. It gets harder before the Lord God Almighty. Before long, you know the Bible, the Bible calls the Word of God a hammer, right? Did you know that? And sometimes it takes the hammer of the Word of God to break a stony heart. Right? And I'm willing. You know, I've been serving the Lord all my life, and I just want to tell you, sometimes my heart gets hard. Does it yours? Sometimes I quit looking at people with the compassion that Jesus looked at them, and I start looking at them through the judgment eyes. And I've never been called to be the judge. I've been called to be the mouthpiece, to be an ambassador for Christ, to take the love of Jesus to them, not the judgment of Jesus. He'll take care of the judgment. So Paul, again, in this passage, he starts with another question. And it's a good question. He says, have they stumbled so much that they cannot get up from the fall? That's a pretty good question, don't you think? Have you ever stumbled in your Christian walk? Aren't you thankful? I'm talking like a Southern today, ain't I? Aren't you thankful for God's mercy that reached down and picked you up when you fell? Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about when you went back to the gutter. Bible says like a dog returns to his vomit. It's a pretty gross, Treva hates it when I talk about this. She grew up with beagle dogs. They're notorious for this. That's just like us. You would think that when a man is saved and delivered from something that he would say, I'll never go back to that, and he would never. But you let him get cold and indifferent with the Lord, you know what he does? He goes back to the familiar. He goes back to what he was delivered from. That's what the Bible is warning about. And he says, have they stumbled to the point that God cannot pick them back up? Oh, his mercy is new every morning. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said in Lamentations, I am so thankful. I heard a preacher says, God's mercy is new every morning because I got a new load of stupid coming every day. So I certainly need that. So he says something that is a bit confusing to us. And he says that God allowed this so that he could make the Jews jealous. And see, we don't like to use the word jealous because to us it has a real evil connotation. But God says, I'm a jealous God. And God's not evil. So there must be a good kind of jealousy. A jealousy that is protective over what you have. Right? Not a jealousy that does evil, but a jealousy that wants to gather in and protect his love. He says, so I've allowed this. And he's speaking to a nation. We tend to be very focused on individuals, but he's speaking to the nation. He says, I've allowed this so that the Gentiles could come in and they would make the Jews jealous. See, they didn't accept Christ. Sometimes you don't appreciate something until you lose it. I can't tell you how many people I've counseled when their wife says, that's it, buddy. And then the man gets humbled. And sometimes it goes the other way. But it's oftentimes, I don't appreciate that job until my boss comes to me and says, here's your pink slip. Oh, dear God, what am I going to do? I had good benefits. I was making good money and everybody liked me there. But all you did was complain. You know, sometimes it's just so easy to dwell on negatives. God, deliver me from being negative. Because I'm a believer. Folks, you get that? I'm a believer. I believe all things are possible to him who believes. You know, all of us quote the verse says all things are possible with God. But I like this version better. All things are possible to him who believes. I believe God can change my situation. Why should I be pessimistic? Why should I be negative? I have no reason to be. The creator of heaven and earth is standing by my side. See, if our eyes could be open right now, we would see that this room is filled with angelic beings. Ooh, we'd change your circumstance, wouldn't it? He says he's allowing this because he wants them to realize, folks, we missed it. Look how good God is to the Gentiles. Look what he's doing for the Gentiles. And we could have been there. We could have had that. But we didn't. God used their rejection to bring us into a relationship with him. So what should our attitude be to the nation of Israel? I can tell you one thing, it shouldn't be that of judgment. We should look at the nation of Israel and we should pray for them. You know, it's one of the things that the Bible says, pray for Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Specifically, it says that. I went to the book of Ephesians, and because I love the way Paul opens up for his prayer for this church. And I believe that it's something very similar that we ought to pray for the nation of Israel. Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. God, just open their eyes. Let them see how good you are. That their eyes of understanding would be enlightened. 3, that they may know the hope of his calling, the riches of their inheritance. And 4, that they may know the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe. The Jewish people believe in God. They believe in the same God that we believe in, but they rejected Christ. And you can't come before God except through the door. And the door is Jesus. God, open their eyes. Come on, everybody ought to say that. Open the eyes of our nation, Israel, so that they may see. The Bible says very specifically that we have been grafted into the vine. In John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Do you know sometimes pruning hurts? Have you ever been pruned by the Holy Ghost? Hey, you got something over there that's not bearing fruit. It's actually sort of wicked. I need to cut that off. Oh, Treva hates it when I get the hedge clippers. Because I tend to be a little drastic. I don't like trimming bushes. Let's just do it once really good. Sometimes there's just a stump there left. You know, when we first got married, we bought a house after our first year of marriage. And it was a little dump. Our preacher showed it to our preacher and he said, please don't buy that house. He said, that thing just needs to be bulldozed down and don't buy that house. But we bought it anyway. Bless God. And did real good with it. But I went to the store. I've always loved yellow roses. It's one of my favorite. I love yellow roses. And so we bought some yellow hybrid rose bushes. And I didn't know what a hybrid rosebush was. I saw yellow. I saw a big old flower on it. I thought, that's mine right there. And it was beautiful the first year. But we had a pretty bad winter that year. And Eric didn't do anything to cover them up or protect them. And the next year, that pretty, beautiful yellow rosebush come out as this nasty little gnarly red, stinking little red roses, that a vine that just ran everywhere. And I thought, what's that all about? Why did my beautiful yellow rose bush turn into this ugly thing? And I found out what a hybrid is. A hybrid is when they take the root system of a rose bush that's really hardy, that little ugly yellow or little ugly red climbing thing. It's got a wonderful root system. So they take that and they hook into this the yellow rose bush that doesn't have a hardy root system. They cut a V-like and they put it in there and tape it. And before long, it begins to grow and it has a good root system. It's grafted. And so are you. Jesus is the vine. And he cut into himself so that we could be hooked in and then taped. And as long as we don't let it die, we will produce a holy fruit because he's the holy root. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's the holy root that produces the holy fruit. It ain't about you. Aren't you thankful? It's not about me. I'm hooked into the right thing, right? I'm into the holy root of God. Hallelujah. I love that. I wanted to read. I'm not a big advocate of the Message Bible, but sometimes it just speaks to me. And so today I have pulled some passages out of the Message Bible, some of the passages that I just read out of the New King James, and I've pulled these out and I've typed them up and put them on ProPresenter so you can read with me. But here's what the Message Bible says. Now, if their leaving triggered the whole worldwide coming of non-Jewish outsiders to God's kingdom, just imagine the effects of their coming back. What a homecoming. Guys, come on, think about it. There is a day coming, already happening actually, where Jewish people's eyes are going to be open. And they're going to see that they missed it, that Jesus is the Messiah, and that all those prophecies that they knew, but they just didn't put them together, it's going to start making sense. Because we don't learn because we're smart in the kingdom. We learn because God reveals it to us, right? Revelation knowledge. What a homecoming it's going to be when our Jewish brothers and sisters begin to come into the kingdom. Do you realize Romans 8:28 is still working? For God works all things for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you realize the Jewish people love God? Do you realize that God has a calling upon them? God called Abraham their father. Come on, folks, let's wake up. God called Abraham, who was an idol worshiper, and says, I want to do something in you and I want to show the whole world how good I am. He said, I chose you because, you know why? Because I know you'll teach the next generation. It's what the word says. Haven't you ever wondered why Abraham? Because God knew he would teach others. Maybe God brought you into the kingdom because he knew you would teach somebody else. Hallelujah. You know, it's not all about me. Christians, we get our ticket punched and we think, now I just get to sit on a pew. Oh, how wrong our thinking. When you get your ticket punched, you're going to heaven. Take somebody with you. Mike Warnke used to say this. He said, on the day that the rapture happens, he says, I'm going to grab two sinners. I'm going to grab one with my right hand and one with my left hand. And he said, about halfway up in the air, he said, I'm going to look at them and say, boys, you ready to repent or shall I let go? That is too late to tell others about Jesus, right? We need to be telling them today how good our Savior is. God is working in the Jewish nation. Another part of his the Message Bible, he says, behind and underneath all this, there is a holy, God-planted, God-tended root. If the primary root of the tree is holy, there's bound to be some holy fruit. Some of the tree's branches were pruned and you wild olive shoots were grafted in. Yet the fact that you are now fed by that rich and holy root gives you no cause to grow over the pruned branches. Remember, you're not feeding the root. The root is feeding you. Doesn't that make it clear? One more part of this I want to read. He says, I want to lay all this out on the table as clearly as I can, friends. This is complicated. It'd be easy to misinterpret what's going on and arrogantly assume that you're royalty and they're just rabble. out on their ears for good. But that's not it at all. This hardness on the part of insider Israel towards God is temporary. Hallelujah, right? Its effect is to bring, is to open things up to all the outsiders so that we end up with a full house. Before it's over, there will be a complete Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I believe it's in verse 19. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Really what I want to talk to you today. I've explained the Word of God to you. I feel that I have to open up the Word of God. I want you to get every part of it. But the Spirit of God is leading me to talk to you about fear God. John Bevere says, there's two columns that support the church. One is the fear of God, and the other is humility. These are two characteristics that must be in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says that in several places. Do you realize the book of Proverbs is all about wise sayings? Do you realize that verse 7 is the first wise saying of Proverbs? The first six verses, Solomon is explaining to you the book. But he starts with the basic, the very foundational truth that he says this is the most important thing. This is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Is it to be afraid of God? No, not. The Bible says in Timothy that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. So then what is the fear of God? It's a reverential fear that leads us to obedience. I don't want to miss it. But I want you to know this. One day, you will stand before the judge. And you will give an account for your life. And there is one scary verse to me, where the Lord looks at these people and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. But they speak up. And they said, wait just a second. We cast demons out in your name. We did this and we did that. And I think it's such a picture of the church today that we're all about what we're doing. But Lord, I paid my tithes. I went to church on Sunday. I did this and I did that. And the Lord says, I never knew you. It is not about what you are doing. It is about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, admitting that you are a sinner and you need God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isaiah 33:6 says, the fear of the Lord is God's treasure. Isn't that interesting? God's got a treasure for you to find. And that treasure is to understand how important it is to have the fear of the Lord in your life. There's a story in the Old Testament about Abraham, and Abraham was well into years, and Abraham waited 25 years for his son, Isaac. 25 years he waited for this child. When this child was up, a teenager, God says something so strange to him. And he says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. I want you to fillet him on the altar. The Bible says very specifically this. Early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, got the boy, got the wood, and the fire, and he headed to the mountain that God told him to do this on. He took a 3-day journey. In 3 days, I could have talked myself out of that a dozen times. Could you not have? Would you not have? I would have reasoned with God. I would have told him how wrong he is. God, we're not into this. This is stuff that other nations do. This is stuff that's demanded by the foreign gods, the ugly ones. You don't do this, God. I could have done that. Probably would have done that. But Abraham just went along. He knew he heard from God. You see, Abraham had the fear of the Lord. He walked in obedience when it didn't make sense. He got up there and he built the altar. I'm sure Isaac's looking around. God, Dad, I see everything but the animal. Son, you are the animal. Get up there on that altar. You realize Abraham is 115 years old, probably. This teenager could have fought him, and I'm probably pretty sure he would have whipped him. But he didn't. He got on the altar. You know, about 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Romans 12, where you get on the altar. If Christians would just quit climbing down, stay on the altar. The Bible says that Abraham pulled the knife back, getting ready to do the unthinkable, getting ready to do something that would mar him the rest of his life. You know, Abraham killed a son. But he told his servants, "We'll be back." You thought that came from Arnold Schwarzenegger, didn't you? That's straight out of the Word of God. "I'll be back." He had faith to believe that they were both coming back. You see, it's at that time that he was walking in such fear of the Lord that he pulled that knife back and the angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Don't, Abraham, stop." He looked over there and there's a ram caught in the thicket. And God revealed something to him that had never been revealed before. "I'm Jehovah Jireh. I provide." You see, when we walk in the fear of God and we do what he tells us to do, God shows us something that will change our life. He gives us another part of his character. God, all of us are enjoying what Abraham paid the price for. That revelation that he is our Jehovah Jireh. Have you ever needed God to come through with something and said, "God, I'm dependent upon you. And I know you're faithful because I know you're Jehovah Jireh. My God will provide all my needs according to the riches in his glory." Psalms 89:7 says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him." We will never see the manifest presence. You realize there's two types of presence of God, right? There's the omnipresence of God. Remember, David said, "If I go into heaven, you're there. But if I descend into hell, to the lowest parts of the earth, you're there too. You're always with me." Jesus said, "I'll never leave you alone." That's the omnipresence of God. It's wonderful, but there's a presence that I want better, want more. That's the manifest presence of God. I want to know he's right there. I want to feel him. I'm telling you, you can tell when the presence of God comes into a room. I've been driving down the road in my old Serval truck and felt the Holy Ghost come into the truck. I'm telling you, it's divine. It's a holy moment with God. But God will not come where we do not reverence him. When the body of Christ comes into the fear of the Lord and lifts up the name of Jesus, it's so powerful that God says, I'll be there with you. I will come where people reverence my name. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. In Exodus chapter 20, I don't want to ever claim that I've come up with some of this stuff, but a lot of the things I'm telling you about come from a book by John Bevere, The Fear of the Lord. If you never read it, I would encourage you to read it. In Exodus chapter 20, he says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled, and they stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.' The people looked at God and they said, 'He scares us.'" Don't let God scare you. You know, Christians, we're the only ones that run into a fire. Right? When everything begins to shake, worldly people get scared. They don't understand what's happening. But I say, shake it up, God. Shake it up. And that's the place that I want to be. That's the place where people that fear God want to be. They want to be where the smoke is coming out, where the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning. You know, on the day of Pentecost, 500 invitations were given. But 10 days later, only 120 is in that room. Why? Because they would not tarry. 380 folks says, "I got a job to do. I got to go do this or I got to do that. I can't keep waiting on God." Folks, don't move. Don't miss the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I believe he is coming in power like we have never seen before. And I say, sign me up. Hebrews 1:9 says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." This, I believe, is where we drop the ball. God says, "If you fear me, hate what I hate. Love what I love." God hates lawlessness. But he loves people. God loves obedience. Don't start looking at people with hatred, because God doesn't. God loves them. God wants to deliver them. Let's hate evil. Let's love God's creation. In Psalms 25, I'm closing. I can tell you're getting weary. Psalms 25 verse 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." God will not share his secret with people that do not fear him. Why? Because you'll blab it. You'll tell intimate details to people that are not ready to hear. You see, you know me as pastor. Some of you know me as friend. Some of you know me as neighbor. None of you know me as lover. And none of you ever will. Which most of you say, "Thank you, Jesus." Don't want to really know you that way, pastor. But this lady does. You see, I'm only going to share the deep secrets of my heart to those that are most intimate. I will tell Treva things that I would not tell anybody else. There is a place in God that God will reveal his secrets to those who love him, to those who fear him, to those who will obey him. That ought to make you hungry. you ought to be saying, God, I want that to be me. We had a pastor come to our, an evangelist come to our church one time, and he said something like this. I don't even remember exactly, Jeff, you may, but it was about 1981. I don't even know if we were married. I don't think I was married at that time. Probably 1980. And he said, if you will draw into Christ, if you will get to know Christ, he'll share things with you. He said, like the president will be, someone will try to shoot the president. President Reagan was our president. He said, someone will try to shoot our president. The very next day, our president was shot. My mother thought that he had something to do with it. She said, I don't trust that man. She said, he knew something. He was in tune with the Holy Ghost. Have you ever been in the presence of a man that walked in prophecy? That would give words, and not just the, oh, God is going to bless you, God is going to do good things for you, and God is going to... No, the kind of things where he looks at you and say, there's a sin in you that God wants you to repent of. I've been there. I've done that. I led song service for people like that. And I did, oh, Hail Mary, full of grace. Father, forgive me for my sins, because don't let him call me out. There was a fear in my heart, and not necessarily the fear of God, but the fear of the man of God. It's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about, are you willing to obey him? There's five things I want to tell you very quickly. The fear of the Lord, the evidence of the fear of the Lord is to obey God immediately. How many of you have heard people say, and maybe you've even said something like this, well, the Lord spoke to me a few months ago to do this, and I'm still thinking about it and praying about it. Well, let me just tell you, brother and sister, if God spoke to you, do it. Don't wait a couple of months. Do it immediately. Number two, obey God even if it doesn't make sense. Many of the things of God does not make sense to your natural mind. Number three, obey God even when it hurts. I always think of finances when I think of that. You say, "Get what? Are you kidding me, God?" Number four, obey God even if we don't see a benefit. Maybe it's not about you. Number five, obey God to completion. And that's my word to you today. Don't be weary in well-doing, saints. You hear me? Every eye, look at me. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. We're about to see a great manifestation of the move of God. I believe that with all my heart. But don't get weary. Don't get weary. Hang in there. Let's obey him to completion to see what God will do in Paris, Henry County, and the surrounding areas. I believe there's a fire fixing to hit this area like we've never seen before. If we will fear God and walk humbly with him. Would you stand with me? Okay, I want you to take this from a group to an individual. Can you do that? I've just shared what I feel like a very accurate picture of chapter 11, the middle portion of chapter 11, that was written to a nation. But now I want you to take the principles that I just talked to you, and I want you to apply them to your heart. So here's my question. Are you walking in the fear of God? Saint or sinner? If you're a sinner, you're not walking in the fear of God. But if you're a believer, you still may not be. Are you getting it? One day, each and every one of us will give an account for every idle word we speak. One day we stand before our judge, and I'm so thankful that it's not based on my account. I'm just going to say, I'm covered in the blood of Christ. Grateful that I stand as a believer. But am I obeying Him? You see, that's what He wants. God wants you to obey Him quickly and to completion. Are you walking in that kind of obedience? If God says, do this, you say, okay. I hear you, Lord. Lord, would you, that's a little bit unusual. Would you mind confirming that? And He will. He will confirm His word to you. If it sounds strange, let Him confirm it. He'll confirm it to you, either through the word or through a prophet. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. Folks, this is serious business. One day I stand before the judge, and I don't just give an account for me, but I give an account for you. The Lord is going to ask me, did you preach what I told you? Did you preach my word to them? And I believe that I will affirm and say, yes, I preached everything you put in my heart. What are you going to do with it? I know. This message was given so that some people can line up right now. Sometimes I'm a little amazed at some of the garbage that we bring into the house of God. It's like the church doesn't believe that there is wickedness anymore. Folks, there is wickedness. And John says that you cannot continue in this sin. If you continue in the sin, you have never known Him. We bear the name of Jesus Christ. Let us not be a reproach to that name. If it's in your heart to say, God, I want you to do something in me today so that I will fear your holy name and I walk in obedience, would you just lift your hands before the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, you see these hands that are lifted right now. These are folks who want to be obedient to you. These are folks that didn't care who was looking at them. They don't care what people think. They say, I just want to fear God and keep His commandments. God, I pray, Lord, that You would do something in their heart so divine, God, that they know that the Spirit of God has touched them today. I pray, Lord, that You would burn out any wickedness that's in them, that the power of the Spirit of God would be there. God, teach us each and every one to walk in the fear of God, that reverential, to reverence You in every way of our life. God, You're not part of our lives. You are our life, and we are Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your eyes still closed and your head still bowed, I want to come one more time. And I want to say with a raised hand, are you willing to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need salvation this morning? Anyone here, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to accept Christ today. Amen, son. And I see your hand. I want to accept Him. I want Him to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. Jesus, I pray for these two young guys today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they stand before You today, Lord, that they would recognize, Lord, that they are sinners, and they would ask You to forgive them. Forgive them of their sin. Come into their heart. God, let them, Lord, walk in obedience all of their life. God, I pray that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to them and say, go this way, go that way. Lead them and guide them into righteousness. God, may they walk with you, Lord, the entirety of their life. Put a hedge of protection around these brothers. God, I pray that they would follow you in baptism. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you realize heaven is rejoicing? Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Denny.
Will you say we give a proper welcome to our two new brothers this morning? Amen. That's not something we need to kind of gloss over. That's a huge deal. So let me be the first, whoever that was, I didn't see hands, but let me be first to welcome you into the family, and it only gets better now. So don't forget to grab a bulletin on your way out. If you didn't get one on your way in, it's got all kinds of information in there that I can't remember to tell you. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.